harbor or hold in our conscience, in our heart. And the Lord is speaking to us, I really believe, right now, and just saying, if these words touch you at any place in your heart right now, just come forward, and there's going to be a removal supernaturally of any area where perhaps there is a root, or perhaps there has been a hold, maybe something that you've struggled with and don't know why. It's like, I don't want to feel that way. I don't want to think that way. But it keeps rising. Selfish ambition and jealousy are clearly spoken about as being areas of human wisdom. And the Lord says that He wants by the Spirit for us to recognize, and there'll be freedom through that recognition, through a change of thinking, through an agreement with what He's saying that He's removing right now. It's very simple. It's never condemning. It's always freeing. Because the Lord's always about taking us higher, where there are dimensions, higher spiritual dimensions. And He says, I don't want you to strive to try to get there. There's no striving in the kingdom. You know, there's no trying to make it happen. And sometimes we fall into that because we so want to walk in the purity and the holiness that is our portion. But something keeps holding us and we can't figure it out, or it keeps rising. It's very simple to God. But He's always involved in unmasking things that try to, you know, stick us. Because He's so in love with us, and He's so, in a good way, jealous of our affection. Hey! So I really believe that's the word for us right now. Hey! So as we declare and we decree, you know, the Lord says in Hebrews 11:3, hey, that our structures are being formed by faith, and the faith of God in this season is what He's bringing to us. Not just faith in God, but the faith of God. Sometimes we don't recognize that we want what someone might be walking in, or someone has, or something. And when the Bible tells us to be imitators of the Lord, imitators of God, He's saying, my kingdom is here. So I want to show you anything that can hinder that release from Him. It's a release from heaven. It's always good when the kingdom of God is released. It's always good. Always good. But anything that is natural or demonic in nature, He can figure that out. The Lord says, I'll reveal what I'm going to do. Hey, you just cooperate. Oh, so if that word is for you, you don't maybe even know fully what it means, but your heart is being tugged a little bit. And maybe you think, well, I used to think that way, but not anymore. Well, you know, sometimes the enemy fools us, because when we come into a different alignment, there's a real cleansing in our spirit man, in our conscience, so it doesn't erupt again later after the good thing that's been released to us. How? Once we receive the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, the Lord tells us that, how? To wake up and see that true repentance and cleansing is the way of the kingdom, and it's a lifestyle. And it will give us the ability to maintain our freedom, not just feel good for the moment and struggle tomorrow. Hey! How? So, if you're feeling by the Spirit, wow, that's reading my mail, it's speaking to me, I may not get it fully, but I'm feeling something inside, come up. Come up. We'll just continue to worship. And I really believe the Lord is going to easily just remove. He's giving us eyes to see what He's doing right now. It's recognizing what He's doing at the moment. That's the presence of God. He says, will you see what I'm doing and saying right now? If you see what I'm doing and saying right now, you can have it. It's for you. Does anybody on the worship team Give your mic to somebody else and come down. Cooperate with God. He's here. He's saying, will you recognize my presence? Will you recognize what I'm doing right now? Hey! Help! Hey! Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, help! Revival is birthed in humility. Show. It's never condemning, it's just freeing. Thank you, Lord. Do it, Lord God. Do it for us. Hey. Shikarabasande. Can you all just come up a little further? Come up close. Hey. This is a word from him, I believe. Hello. Wow. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey. Hey. Nurabasha. You never want it to rise up again? Do you believe it's possible? Do you believe you can get past it? How? It has streams and threads of religious thinking, and it really makes Christians feel uncomfortable because, you know, the ones who really want the kingdom, because we think, oh, I couldn't have any portion of religious thinking in me. And the Lord says, oh, sure you can. You're being conformed to my image. Oh. Hey. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey. This is the highway of holiness. Oh! Mm. Thank you, Lord. We apply James chapter 3 right now, Lord God. Because you want to make it easy, Lord. You want to make it easier for us because we're making it hard on ourselves. Hey, and you don't want any natural or wicked thing on the inside. If you're hesitating, it's probably the flesh. So walk up. It's not for me to see, it's for you to recognize. Walk up. If it's not sure, Lord, are you talking to me or not? Walk up. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your beautiful power of love. It always releases the kingdom. It's birthed out of honor. Help. Hey. Thank you for your reconciling heart. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Oh, so good. Thank you, Papa. Wow. Oh, you can't muster up joy. Joy is released. Hey! Joy is released by the Spirit. Hey! We can't make joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Hey! Real joy is released by the Spirit. Real joy is released by the Spirit. Oh, real peace is released by the Spirit. Oh, oh, because you are joy and peace, oh Papa. Hey, oh, thank you, Lord. Yay, Rabasha. Please come. Lord, speaking to you. Don't hesitate. Don't linger. Not the time to linger. Linger later. Hey. Whoa. Wow, this is freedom. Woo. Hey, Rabashiki. Oh, Rabaradadashiki. Wow. Yes, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Lord says, step in and receive the kingdom. Step in and receive the kingdom. Ho. Oh, yeah. Wow. See yourself stepping in right now. Step into who you are. Step into who you are. Step in who you are. Release of your greater identity today. Hey. Wow. Hey. Wow. We're here, Jesus. We see you. Hey. Oh, whoa, 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 thank you, Papa, release, release over our people here, Lord, hey, oh, I love you, Jesus, whoa, wow. Wow. Yes, Lord. Yes. Here we are. We present ourselves to you. We present ourselves to you. Oh. Go. Yes, Lord. Oh, what am I shaking? Oh,
let's tell the Lord that we are in need.
Ah. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. Just cry out to Him. Thank you for your freedom, Papa. It's already been released to us. Thank you, Lord, that we burn with your love. We present ourselves, and your Spirit just washes through us right now. Any wicked jealousy, selfish ambition, or vain deceit leaves now. Leaves now. Leaves now. Oh. Wow. 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 Shay. Okay. I'm hearing and believe right now that if you have aught against your brother, your sister, if you have anything that ticks you off or annoys you, use your own words, okay? Oh no, it can't be unforgiveness. Anything that troubles you, anything that bothers you, it's just one of those, oh, whoa. Let the Lord do business right now inside of you. It's not all about you and your feelings. It's just not. Okay, let's ask the Lord. Let the Lord highlight for you the very person or people in your heart that He's wanting to cleanse you from holding your opinions about. We call them unsubmitted opinions. The Lord calls it unforgiveness. Let's raise up, let's release right now. Any person who comes to your mind, it's from the Lord. I believe He's moving right now. Father, I forgive them fully. I release them to you. And Lord, if I've been responding out of my feelings and emotions, I ask for your forgiveness for my short-sightedness. Because if I'm not having a good time, I've left you somewhere behind, Jesus. That's my problem. Thank you, Jesus. Just release right now, just a wave of forgiveness. Now step in and take it for yourself. Oh Lord, sorry. I have been holding things. You're showing me in my heart. Thank you, Lord, that I'm walking freely underneath that banner and releasing that to you. I receive your forgiveness for me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I receive your forgiveness for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, thank you. We posture ourselves here right now, Lord. Just hear the Lord tell me, I'm going to touch your forehead, okay? And I'm going to say, be free. That's what I'm hearing him tell me to do. Whatever that means to you. So just step in and receive what he's speaking to you about today. Just be free. That means you're agreeing with heaven. Yeah. Just be free. Just be free. Just be free. Just be free.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim and release the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set them free, those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.
Father, we just declare and decree right now that as our foundations have existed on this scripture verse, Father, that you are desiring to increase us, and we position ourselves this day, personally and corporately, to receive, to notice, to understand, receive, and walk in the greater increase. And Father, we know that that produces great confidence in us to walk in and release all that you are. And we say yes to that today, a resounding yes to that today. And Father, anything less than that perpetuates bondage and insecurity on the inside of us. And Lord, we're refusing any bondage and insecurity. We're claiming to walk in the fullness of the anointing that was released through Jesus' words, Luke 4:18 and 19. And we will be mindful of that today. as you solidify in our hearts that which you've done, even in this moment, and you're still here, we recognize your presence. We recognize your closeness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Lord's raising up a generation of feelers, of people who can recognize and engage and participate and actually know and feel. It's not a bad word. It's not an emotional word in and of itself. But to be able to know exactly what's happening and respond accordingly, a.k.a. encounter. And the Lord is saying today that as we encounter His Spirit, as we encounter Him, and we understand the times, and those that mixture is solidified with a dot of approval from heaven, then we're in revival mode, which is, that's just kingdom. He's releasing, and we're in the middle of a new movement of love, and He's teaching us really what love looks like. And love involves the release of His wonders, signs, and miracles, for sure. But it also involves our recognition of His presence, and recognition and response to His presence, and desire for greater increase. And He's looking for a company of people who will really see what He's saying right now, so that He, the Lord, can raise up a culture of people who are hungry and pursuing His presence. Are we part of that culture? Yes. Do we want to see that culture established in great proportions here in this house? Yes. Put your hand on your heart, please. This is my house. I thank you. I want you to inhabit me. I don't want a visitation. I want a habitation. Father, where your anointing is so released, Lord, that there is nothing, there's no clog in the wheel. There's nothing that will hinder the release of your power, presence, and anointing from me to all I meet. I will recognize what you're doing, what you're saying, because you're training my hands to war. You're training my hands in righteousness right now. And Lord, as I walk in things that I think are good and it's not your best, I'm just slowing things. That's not your desire. So Lord, this is my heart. I release it to you today to recognize and be filled and completely overturned and overwhelmed and upside down kingdom inside of me to be released here into the nations. Thank you, Lord. That's my decree and that's my declaration today. Thank you, Jesus. I am part of that generation. Just tell Him, I am part of that generation. It's not a chronological thing. It's what He's doing right now. This is it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good, God. You're so good. Thank you, Jesus. One of my greatest, biggest desires, if you will, right now, that I've been offering to anyone who will say, hey, how can I pray for you? These are really fun words for me to hear. And it's been going on for a while, but I've asked the Lord, you can take a seat or on the floor, do it as you want. But I've been asking the Lord to give us help, my husband and I and all who would be here at Frontline, give us help to be able to know how to steward what the Lord's doing. And to be very, very intentional about it. One of my favorite words as well, intentionality. And Lord, I'm recognizing that you've done something, you're doing something here abroad, you're doing something in the season, in my heart, my family's heart, in the ministry heart, in this kingdom, in this house. And I just really believe the Lord is saying to us, and has been, to Pastor Bill and I especially, for quite some time, it's been saying, you need my wisdom to steward what I'm doing. And so does everybody else. You need my wisdom. It's like, all right, Lord, that's what I'm crying for. So when I was at Voice of the Apostles a few weeks ago, I was we were encouraged actually to write down what is so important to you. You know, I'm thinking in my head, you know, my family and salvation of those around me, you know, and it's in my heart, and all of that's true. But with that, I felt like the Lord was saying, put this down. And I was reviewing it last night, so I kind of forgot about it. It's in my heart all the time, but I forgot I had written it. And what I wrote was, Lord, that there would be such wisdom from above to steward what you're doing, to know what that means, to know what it looks like, to know what that will be from, you know, that will be your DNA from heaven for us. I don't want to miss anything. I want to finish well, and finishing well means that I know how to steward what he's releasing, and that's for all of us. Being a good steward is being someone who recognizes what's happening and then walking and co-laboring and co-partnering with God to increase what he's doing. That's the kingdom. And that's the kingdom release. And it's just so fun. So this morning when I was on the floor for a bit, and I was asking Father, I said, what are you doing? I can't move. It's hard. My arms are heavy. My head is heavy. I'm feeling this press. Is it going to be all day? That's fine with me. I have a message, but it can wait. You're the message, not me. And so as I was trying to raise my head and stand up, felt like it was the time. This is when he laid James 3 on my heart. It's like, oh my goodness, Lord, you're so intentional, you're so serious. And you can see from the response here in the front that was obviously a word from God for right now. And isn't it just so fun that we can really trust him and really know and believe that when he's moving and when he's speaking, he's wanting us to hear it. Isn't that true, Andy? Oh my gosh. So many good things to share this morning. Andy, come here for a second. I'm going to ask you to share. I hope you all hear this. This is really good. Because he emailed it to me. Because he was sharing it with me the other night at our house. And I said, that is good. Email it to me. So if you forget anything, here's your email. But I just really sensed that he was capturing some things that God's releasing right now. Did you need to refresh yourself? Are you cool? All right. And so it's right there if you need it, yeah. And this is what Andy was sharing with me. And I knew at the moment, I was sitting at our table and we talked about a lot of different things. It was just fun. And but I knew at the moment, whoa, this was what the Spirit of God was saying to our church. Not just to Andy. I don't know if you knew that. But anyway, it's for all of us. And it involves worship, involves what we do, who we are. But I would like you to listen his testimony and his thoughts and just ask the Lord, what is it that I'm involved with from a kingdom perspective? From your perspective, Lord. And then you can apply this to that.
Well, one of the things that the Lord's been speaking into my heart, and a lot of it came from the word that Cynthia was sharing the one time about, I believe, ownership and owning what the Lord is entrusting you with and kind of stepping out in that. And as I was just thinking about the Lord's been putting different desires in my heart recently, and an increase of just desire for the things of the kingdom in his heart. And one of the areas that, you know, I'm able to serve a little bit in is in sound and doing the soundboard. But even more beyond that, the Lord was laying on my heart, because Pastor Mary Pat asked me, like, you know, what are some of the things that you love to do? And I love to pray for healing, love to prophesy, I love to do sound, I love my wife. And as the Lord was impressing on these things in my heart, he just kind of opened up my eyes a little bit. And one of the things that I realized, especially in the realm of sound and in worship, is that the Holy Spirit is taking me into a place where I'm able to partner with him in facilitating his anointing in the room. That he's using me, and he is using me and all of us to be able to change the spiritual atmosphere of the place that I'm in. To help the release of the sound of heaven, help the release of the Lord's anointing for the purposes of freedom. Of the purposes of breaking yokes off of us because the anointing is here. And it's such a joy in my heart to be able to experience that and partner with the Lord in that. And the Lord was showing me that's a great responsibility. That's a great responsibility of stewardship, of partnership. And the Lord was asking me, Andy, check your heart and make sure that it's in the right place. Because if I'm not hearing accurately, if I'm not on, if I'm not in the right place, then I'm going to actually be able to affect the spiritual atmosphere around me negatively. That's not like condemning, because the Lord's always, there's grace and there's mercy. But the Lord was challenging my heart, Andy, step up into that place and recognize what I've entrusted you with. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, you mean that even though I'm in the back and I'm on the soundboard, I can affect the spiritual dynamic and atmosphere of what's happening in here? And he's like, yes. And each person here, we can affect the spiritual atmosphere and reality around us of what the Lord is entrusting us and calling us to step into. And I realized, yes. That's stewarding. Because I am, for using the Lord's word, I'm taking ownership of an area that the Lord has entrusted me in. And as I'm faithful with that area, it actually helps facilitate freedom for everyone around me. And not only for myself, I mean, there's a benefit of stepping into my purpose and my destiny of actually releasing the Lord's presence and releasing his freedom. But it's not necessarily all of, I just don't do sound because it makes me feel good. I just don't pray for the people who are sick and prophesy because it makes me feel good. That's a benefit. But that's not the reason why I'm doing it. It's because I'm stepping into something that the Lord has entrusted me with to be able to release freedom. And then I get excited because I'm actually fulfilling my purpose and my destiny of blessing the Lord's heart and ministering to him by seeing somebody else touched, by seeing somebody else receive freedom. And so in turn, I'm just blessed because I'm partnering with the Lord, and the Lord's just loving it because he's saying, he's saying, Andy, because you're being faithful with the area that I've entrusted you with, freedom is coming, I'm coming to other people. And it's like, wow, Lord, that makes me feel good because it's blessing you. The Lord's honored when we are stewarding what he's releasing to us, because he's pleased because it affects and changes and touches other people. And man, there's nothing sweeter than that. Because then, wow, the Lord's actually using me to release his kingdom by being responsible with what he's trusted me with. And so that was what kind of was.
So a little bit further, and unless you spoke it and I missed it, but he gave me a little technical thing that he goes through. You don't have to go through the specifics, but what the Lord was saying or would be saying to him prior to affecting the sound change. For example, you know, Andy's saying, well, you know, I can really affect the atmosphere here and the release of the presence by what I do. And you're going, yeah, that's great. But how does that happen? Supernaturally.
I did forget that part. Thank you, Lord. There's sometimes what I would, I wrote it down in my email, but there's sometimes what I would experience what I would call a supernatural musical word of knowledge. And that there's times where I'll be in the back and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will speak to me and be like, Jamie's going to get a song now prophetically. And it's even before she begins to sing. It's just somehow I know it. I'm just open to the Lord. Let the Lord speak to me. And somehow he does. And it's just like, so I already position, since he's speaking to me that, hey, this is coming, I already adjust things on the soundboard to be able to facilitate where the anointing is going to flow next, which is into Jamie. And it comes back to, the Lord just speaking to my heart and being faithful to show me the things that are to come. So the Lord is speaking to me and pressing me that it's our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that helps us practically arrange things in front of us to be able to facilitate what he's releasing, which really is a lot of fun, because when I do hear from the Lord that, oh, the anointing is going to flow this direction, or somebody's going to get this anointing on the keyboard and, you know, turn it up to facilitate that, and then it actually happens and the anointing's released through that, I'm like encouraged, because like, wow, Lord, I heard your voice. It was true. It was right. You did lead that way. And he's like, I know, I told you. It's no surprise to him. He's like, I spoke that to you. But that's just such a, to me, those are sweet times, because that's fellowship. That's the Lord kind of whispering in my ear, like, it's going to go here. Then it goes there, and I'm like, wow, it really is. And it just encourages my heart and stirs me up even more.
Thank you, Andy. Is that a good word? You can apply it to your own life. Think about that. Take it a little bit further. Thank you. And, you know, there's a recognition, I would believe, in any body of people that there are different people. People are at different places in hearing the voice of the Lord, they think. They think, oh, I couldn't hear like Andy. I could not. I mean, that's Andy. So if I'm going to do sound, you know, now I'm feeling pressure because that's what Andy said he does. And then we step right back into potentially exactly what we came up here to get. You see? And that's where the Lord says, will you please steward what I'm doing and what I've done? In other words, own it. Say, that's me. You step in. I remember one time in Ghana North, we were praying for a woman who had no eye, no eyeball. And there was a big flurry of healing going on for this blind, because of a blind lady in the middle, not Ghana North, Ghana Upper East, the middle of this road. You know, after preaching and teaching and doing a pastor's conference for a couple days in a row, all day, and it's like, there's this lady, there's this blind lady, and I've told you about this before, but let me make a point about it. She walks up, and the Lord says, I want to heal her. To me. Okay. But it's not so clear that, oh, this is easy. It's a sense. It's a communion. It's connecting in. Even when I'm tired, even when I'm just not on, if you will, because you're standing there ministering to a group of pastors, and you're on because you're thinking you're in the glory, you know, you're in the anointing. And I was tired. But the connection is still maintained. And that's what the Lord's saying to us when we're out of frontline on Sunday or Tuesdays or whatever, and we're home with the kids, or we're at the hospital, or we're at the church, or we're at the school or the business or wherever you work or whatever you do, that connection is strengthening. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, so that you're going to pay attention to those nudges. First, the visual eyes saw the lady. It's like, oh, this is an opportunity for a miracle. And it's the Lord. That's obvious. That's then the Lord is, you know, speaking, saying, yeah, go for it. It's okay. It's good. It's good. It's good. That's not the Lord saying, thus saith the Lord, I will heal her. It's just partnering and hanging out with Jesus. And so as a result of that, 400, 350 to 400, we lost track, were healed over a course of, I don't know how many hours, Phil. I don't know how long it was, but it was a long time. And it was really strong, and it was powerful, and it was like, wow, this is the book of Acts, Lord. And he says, book of Acts, why are you staying in the book of Acts? This is the book of the resurrection that I'm rewriting through you and everybody else. Book of Acts was of the past, and you learned from that. Well, go for it. And so Amy and Phil went over to this girl who didn't have an eyeball and said, oh, I think there's a place for a miracle here. And Amy said, hey, P&P, there's a lady over here who's, I don't know if she has an eyeball or not, but she's blind or something. I don't remember exactly what Amy said, but she went for it. And here's what she said. I love this. Later, she said, well, I heard a testimony. Smart woman. I heard a testimony that P&P and some others were in a place in Mozambique, and there was this girl with no eyeball. And she prayed for a guy who had an eyeball but was blind. Whew, that worked. And the next girl did not have an eyeball and was blind. But it was the same thing, except God was saying, so what are you going to do about this one? There's a creative miracle right there. What are you going to do? I don't know. Daddy, do the same thing. Sure. be healed in Jesus' name. Rebuke blindness in Jesus' name. She could see. What is that? It's crazy. It's a creative miracle from God. But Amy had heard about it. She wasn't even in Mozambique. And it was a few years before that. So, because she heard about it and embraced it, she actually went to the girl, if I'm remembering correctly, Ames, and she said to herself, I saw or heard, I saw from the past, meaning I got the testimony. From P&P, she did it, I can do it. She's my spiritual daughter. She has an anointing for healing, but she also grabbed the testimony. And she just stood up there and just started, and something started to happen, and then she brought her over, and the Lord continued. That's how I remember the testimony. Is that's accurate? Yeah? And that picture is the third picture down in the overflow room. And that's how it began. Isn't that great? And then God finished the work. Another creative miracle. Where now we could see the eye starting to form on this one. The first one didn't even see the eyeball form. It's Carl standing behind me with a great big headlight, which I've shared before. But some of you are new and you've not heard this. And the rest of the team was back at the ranch doing what they do. It's 12 o'clock or something. And not a real ranch. But at that point, he's standing, he's towering over me, and he's got this flashlight, and this girl is healed. It's like, oh my gosh, she doesn't have an eyeball. She comes the next day to testify with her father because we asked her to do this so we could get it on videotape. And she's still healed. She can see fingers. And her eyeball didn't look different, or lack of eyeball. Just have pulpy tissue and mass. So, you know, that's pretty cool. And it's on, you know, it's on our videotape somewhere in the archives of Frontline, which will change. Because God says, will you steward what I've done? And so, when the Lord says, this is who I am. This is what I've done. This is what I've released. This is what you've walked in. This is what you've heard. This is what you've seen. This is what you've seen me do. What will you do with that? And as we step in, the anointing will rise and increase and be released. And so what will the enemy try to do? Completely remove that desire from us, or that awareness. He says that the lion, when the lion roars, do you know that the lion roars at the ground, roars down, and there's a reverberation around the area where he's roaring, and you hear the shaking, but it's because the ground is vibrating. I didn't know that. I was told that a week or so ago. I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. But that was his territory, and he's roaring down, and the ground is shaking around him. Hey, the Lord says, I'm releasing my lions in this hour. But these will be the lions who understand their authority and will release their authority. You can sing it, you can talk about it, but until you step in, recognize it, and release it, there's not a whole lot of shaking going on. And do you know that because the king of the jungle is so huge in stature, that he's absolutely feared by every other creature, that the biggest threat to him are flies. Flies, because they're already all over him, and he's shaking and he's moving in to become distracted from his prey. So as his prey is there and he goes after it and he gets it and he wants to kill it and he wants to eat it and he wants to give it to his little cubs or her little cubs. Can't do it because the flies are bothering, because it's like, and maybe the hyenas will try to come in and take it and snatch it when the king of the jungle has moved. Who are your flies? And why are they allowed to stay? That's not the name of the message, Carl. Who are you flies? He's always thinking, what's she going to call this? It's not who are you flies. I read your mail on that one, buddy. I know you. But anyway, it's a good question, isn't it? What's buzzing around me? Where's the distraction? Oh, is there a distraction around me that's keeping me from eating? Not just going after the prey, but eating and sustaining. Why is the king of the jungle really wanting to kill some other animal? Because he's hungry. And he's the king. And the Lord says he's got clout. Right? And nobody's messing with the big lion. When we were in India a few years ago, and we took the group of kids to the zoo in India, if you can imagine. It's like, oh my gosh, we heard this big loud roar. And I think it was a bear. But it was so loud. I mean, it just shook. Yeah, they actually had a zoo. Can you imagine in India? And I don't know if it was a bear or a lion, but one of the guys said it was a bear, so maybe it was a bear. I don't know. But it was like, wow, if you've ever heard these kind of roars, I mean, yo, they're just, you know, deafening. And it's like, I'm not afraid, but I'm glad I'm over here, you know, and I don't know what's going on over there. That's really cool. And so this morning I was thinking about this, and I was going back to Acts 16, and I thought, oh, this is a familiar part of our Bible to many of us, so can we open our Bibles to Acts 16? That would be lovely. Yes, let's do that. Yeah, I didn't write that down, but that's okay. I know where it is. All right. Okay. Now, this is really familiar, I would think, to many of us, but if not, let it become familiar to you. And I'm asking you this week, as I ask every time I'm preaching, would you please think about these verses later? I believe the Lord's very intentional. When he gives us a direction, the Lord says, walk in and do something with it. Okay, just to backtrack, reverse just for a moment. Last week, Pastor Bill was preaching again, not again on something, but just again. And he was preaching on Father's heart and Father's love and a great increase. And it was powerful. And he shared a great testimony of what the Lord had been doing in his own life. And as a result, also, not just because of that, but also with that great vulnerability, humility, and power, there was a release of an anointing that he carries in a greater measure. It was incredible because he's prophetic, very prophetic. He's a prophet as well as an apostle. I really believe it. And he stood here and he prophesied right here, or maybe down here, from 20 to 11. And we left or got home close to 6 o'clock. That was our two-hour service. Was that planned? No, at all. Were we willing to cooperate with that? Yes. Why? Because it was the Lord, and it's what the Lord's doing. It was doing. And we tried to facilitate the best, you know, kids, parents with kids and all that can come up. And I'm sure some people, you know, didn't stay or couldn't stay or whatever it is. That's between you and God to figure that out. But boy, I tell you what, there was such a release, such an amazing release. And I really believe the Lord would say, well, whatever word you got, it was from heaven. So what are you going to do with it? What's it going to mean to you? What increase will you have as a result of me showing up? That's really it. Whenever the Lord's showing up, he's always showing up for increase. He's showing up in worship for increase. He's showing up here as I'm preaching for increase. He's saying, will you step into increase because I'm the God of abundance? I'm not the God of lack. I'm the God of abundance. It's like, wow, so what's the word? Have you thought about it? Have you meditated on it? Because I don't know, this place was packed last Sunday, and there was a lot going on, and I think there were about 7 people that got a word last night. You know? God's saying, that was me showing up. When I came up close to him to give him some water or whatever, and I stood here, I felt such a power and a presence around him. And his face was glowing, really. And his forehead and everything, he was just glowing. He just stood here and kept drinking water till about 5:45. Amazing. It was amazing because it's just God. He's decided that's what he wanted to do, and my husband was posturing himself to lean into whatever he says. And if somebody doesn't see it, well, that's not his problem, because Papa saw it, and Papa was saying, son, this is what I want you to do. Just keep going. And then just word after word and picture after picture after picture after picture. It's like, wow, that's fun. God, you're good. You know, when we see gold dust, folks, when we see gold dust, we go, wow, 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 we're amazed. What are we amazed at? That we have gold dust finally on our hands for the first time, eh? Or the 24th time. The Lord is saying, I want to do something with that. I am training you to recognize when I've showed up. That's what I'm doing. I'm not just saying, isn't it great? I love you so much. Here's a kiss. That's nice. And it's true. But he's training us. He's saying, what will you do with what I'm showing you that I'm doing in your midst? I'm going to give you something tangible to see that I have showed up. My presence is increasing. And I don't want you to be purpose-driven. I want you to be presence-driven. Is there a book written called Presence-Driven? Well, I know about that. I think I'll write it. Presence-driven. I think I'll write it. So don't take it. That's what good. Yeah. Presence-driven. Ooh, will that get to Walmart? I don't know. Okay. All right, Paul and Silas imprisoned. Oh. Okay. Lord wants us to discover a few new things here. So let's look at them, verse 22 through 30. The crowd rose up together against them. The chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. Oh, we all go, ooh. And when they had been struck with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. Oh. Verse 24, and he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, this is the inner prison, not the outer prison. Interesting. I really believe the Lord's trying to show us, not just give us a picture of, wow, when you witness for Christ, you may go to jail someday. Woohoo. And that's true. It could happen. But I really believe that there's another level here. And the Lord is saying, I want you to see it. I want you to discover that there's something else, that any prison that we are in, whether it's for the cause of Christ or that we have partnered in some way or something has partnered with us that's not of the kingdom, there's a prison. The Lord is saying, I so want my kids to get out of any prisons or traps. I so want chains to fall off. I so want them to walk in freedom. I so want them to understand what freedom really looks like. What is freedom? We can sing it. Yeah, and feel God showing up. But what does it really look like? What does love look like? What does freedom look like? Is it our plan? No. Is it God's plan? Yes. How do we know the difference? That's what we're talking about today. Let's move on here. It says in verse 24, or 5, but about midnight, interesting, right at the nighttime hour, when the darkness is just having a field day because most are sleeping and not thinking about the Lord, although our spirits are not sleeping and we can commune with the Lord. But most of us, if we're not postured to live that way, we may not even recognize what the Lord is saying and doing in those hours. We can, and he's increasing our ability to hear from him, see, hear, taste, touch, and feel. For our senses to be trained and exercised, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 5. And the Lord says that in this season, I am increasing you with dreams and visions and words. And wow, it's like, yay, God, I finally had a dream. I finally had a vision. I finally had gold dust. You know, we look for these benchmarks, don't we? Oh, God showed up. Well, what if we didn't have a dream or a vision or gold dust? Will he still show up? But he is teaching and training us, and he is saying, I'm releasing my voice, and I'm training you to hear my voice and get it so that you can turn up the sound before Jamie has something that she's going to sing out. Or somebody's going to come and say, can you turn up the sound, and you're not going to get upset. Or whatever it would be. You know, God's really good at getting our attention on a lot of things. And so, this is so good. And suddenly, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Who was listening? The prisoners. Who else was listening? Who else was listening? The Lord was listening. Paul and Silas were all about it. They were praying and singing hymns. They didn't say the worship team came up front at 10:30. Okay? They were praying and singing hymns. So, they were being engaged with what they could do because they're in the inner prison. They're in the deep place. They're not just hanging out on the outside going, wonder if they're going to stick us on the inside. No, they are in the inside. And the Lord's so intentional. Again, he's saying, look what I'm going to do for you, in you, for others. The Lord is multitasking always. He's so much bigger than we are. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations, now this is a key word. Many times, I don't know if you've ever heard anyone preach from this passage before. I know I have. I don't know if you've ever heard me before, but foundations is a key word. Look at it. Now, if you're married, Okay, put your hand in the air. Okay, I want you to now look back down here. It's not just for married people, but foundations of the prison house were shaken. Foundations of the prison house were shaken. Okay, if you're married and there's not a flowing in the spirit that's just really increasing for both on all levels together, it's probably a message here. And even if so, even if you're flowing, it's a message to be aware of. Here's where the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. It's like, well, just for the married? No. Think of yourself now as single. Single and maybe wanting to be married. I don't know. Maybe you've been married before, didn't work out, for whatever reason things happened. Maybe there was a death, maybe there was a divorce, for whatever reason you had have a history, and now we're in a new place. And the Lord says, foundations are being shaken. Foundations are being shaken in our community, in our relationships, in our finances, in our areas of sphere of influence and expertise. Meaning, if God's calling you to, let's say, become da-da-da-da someday, the Lord's saying, I'm going to prepare you to be able to carry the weight of what I want to release through you in that place. Doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, okay? That's what I'm saying. Whatever it would be. Whatever it would be, the Lord's saying, I'm going to release you into that realm so that you are understanding that my glory has got to be released. And there can be someone really close to you who's getting in the way, you think. And the Lord is saying, freedom is for you. You are free. You are free. You are a free person. How much freedom do you want? How much freedom will you walk in? How much grace do you want? How much mercy do you want? Okay, so examine all connections right now. Let it go through your mind. Okay, relationships, children, roommates. Oh, yeah. Wow. Business acquaintances, professors. Ah. Think about relationships. Where will the enemy strike? Relationships. Where will the Lord want to release his glory? Relationships. And also, finances, circumstances. The Lord's always on increase. So he's taking a look at the foundations, and he's wanting to shake, rattle, and roll right now. It's really a good season to be alive and a good season to be dead. And suddenly there came a great earthquake. I didn't come up with that. So the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Now, let's capture this. This is probably not a prison on 400 acres, you know, with a big long driveway, and it's got an opening here where, you know, a greeting or an entrance place that people come in and have coffee. I don't know if you've ever been overseas and been in prisons. It just doesn't look like that. Okay, now let's define what God did here. This is very interesting. Suddenly, there's a great earthquake. What is an earthquake? Shaking of the foundations will be shaken, but everything was shaken that could be shaken in the natural. God's giving us a picture here. And he says, of the prison house, okay, of the prison house, the prison house. This is where prisoners are. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Now, I find this very interesting in verse 27. When the jailer awoke, where was he? But is he sleeping through this shaking? Is this just a little tremor? And maybe this guy's out to lunch under a mayberry tree somewhere, or a mulberry tree? Something's happening. Where is this jailer? This is my question. I asked the Lord this. I said, where's this jailer? When the jailer awoke and he saw the prison doors open, he awoke and he saw. He woke up and he saw. He woke up. It didn't say that he came, you know, he ran 500 miles, you know, he got on his little donkey and went, oh, my gosh, I missed it. I fell asleep somewhere else. This is interesting. Think about the spiritual point God's trying to make. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open. To me, if I read something like that, I'm sleeping, I woke up, prison doors are open. It doesn't say that he was responding to the shaking necessarily at that point, does it? But he recognized at that point, oh my gosh, I'm a guy who has got a job and now I'm in trouble. And Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, do not harm yourself. Basically, don't worry. I know that you didn't do this. You didn't open the prison doors. But were you aware of what's going on? Are you aware of the Most High God right at this point? Right at this moment? He cried out with a loud voice, don't harm yourself. For we are all here. We are all okay. We are all okay. Don't harm yourself. We're all right. What are they all right from? From the shaking? It's like, oh my gosh. They're all dead because there was a shaking or the prison doors were open. He's still saying, but the compassion that Paul has, he's saying, we're okay, but you're going to be okay because this is about you. Don't worry. We already took care of this. We're praying and we're worshiping. We're singing. We're taking care of what we need to do here. Prison doors are open for other people. This is my region of influence right now. And I'm so full of the Holy Spirit that things are changing. And I'm just worshiping and praising God and praying because I'm communing with Him and I'm following what God is doing and saying right now. And it shows here, I believe, that Paul is so concerned about everybody because he's so full of the Lord. He's not just worried about getting out of prison or worried at all. He's just praising God. Do, 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 do. I will not be shaken from my joy. I will not be shaken from my peace because I'm walking in supernatural, divine, heavenly wisdom. And I'm not full of earthly, demonic wisdom that we all talked about today in James chapter 3. Paul was so full of the power and the presence of God that God responded, God showed up. It wasn't just, well, Paul did it again. You know, he probably said some dopey thing and I didn't tell him to do it. Now he's in prison. It was a cooperative effort of the Lord with his life and Silas's life. But because of where he was and where he is with the Lord at that time, where he would be at the Lord at that time, that he was hearing what the Lord would say. He had the heart of Jesus. Don't worry, we're okay. It's all right. Don't kill yourself. It's like, it'll work out. I'm not sure how yet, but it'll work out because my God is bigger. My God is bigger. So Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, don't harm yourself, which I just read. And he called for lights and he rushed in. And trembling with fear, This is our little guy who's watching this, you know, our our jailer. He called for the lights. Let there be light. Can you see this one? Or bring the torches. He rushed in. He couldn't even see. But yet, when he awoke, he realized that the prison doors were open. Isn't that interesting? When the jailer awoke and he saw the prison doors open, what did he see? If he had to bring the light in to see more? In other words, Paul and Silas were being used by God as agents of light, entering into the darkness to illuminate the place. The place was so illuminated, okay, that they were called, their lives were called to release this powerful aroma of God from the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. They were called to release through their connection with God, taking advantage of the situation and believing that they were stewards of what the Lord had already released. They believed it. They walked in it. They believed it. I think Peter denied Jesus, didn't he, somewhere along the boat here? I don't think, I know. But that's my rhetorical question. But then, Jesus kept saying, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. And feed my sheep. Oh. In other words, the connection of love from the Father through the Son to Peter became so much stronger towards the end of Peter's time with Jesus here on earth that as he set out to proclaim the gospel, all parts of the world, the known world at that time, he was so filled with the Father's heart, Father's love, that he stepped out. And he was so secure in that, that he stewarded what Jesus had released to him. What Jesus had released by the Father to Peter, he was stewarding, he was guarding, he was protecting, and he was looking for great increase. He wasn't threatened by the demons. And I bet you there was a whole bunch in prison. What do you think? Probably so. Probably demons of great fear. Because this jailer comes in and he's trembling. Oh my gosh, my life's on the line. I've got to see more. Are they all out? Are they all out of the prison? Oh, maybe there's something I can do. What can I do to fix this? Nothing. But because of the presence of God being so strong, moving through Peter, moving through his world, through his life, and Silas at that point, and because of the compassion being released to this guy, not just, okay, boys, let's go. Come on, let's go. All you guys who were robbers and thieves and you're in there, now you're free. It's like Robin Hood. No. It's a bad message, really. Take from the rich and give to the poor. It's not a good message. It's really not. It's not the kingdom. You may think it is, but pull that one out of your library. Don't give it to your kids. Not a good idea. And so, he had such compassion for the jailer. And he said, we're okay. It's all right. Well, God's in this. Things are going to happen. Things are going to change. And so he did call for the lights and rushed in verse 29. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. In other words, the anointing started to work. Not just where the prison doors opened, but something started to happen right there on the spot. He started trembling with fear. He fell down right in front of them, even with his life on the line, after compassion was released. It wasn't just that these guys were out of their cells, but the compassion was released. And in verse 30, he says, after he had brought them out, he said, sir, what must I do to be saved? That's what God's saying right now. He's saying, I so want to fill you up that when you are around people, their ugliness will start to rise and you're going to be okay with it. What? Their ugliness, meaning what harasses them, what they really carry, is not hidden any longer. Oh, because the light is so strong. Oh, that the darkness rises and can't stay. The darkness has to go. It's recognized. Oh, it's like I'm reading the mail. Because it's the light. The light is being released. The light is being absolutely permeating. It is permeating the situation that I'm in, the people that I'm in. My life will affect change because I'm a dead person. I'm dead. I'm really dead. I'm so dead that I can't wait to help somebody else out. I'm not going to give an excuse. Check your emails. Check your texts. Not to me. Just in general. To anybody, anything you do. And ask, is the first thing I do when I get something from someone about anything is, okay, what about my world? Is it, what about their world first? I think Paul is telling us something. The Lord is teaching us how to love. Is it about my boundaries? Is it about my safe place? Is it about my family? Is it about my children? Is it about my spouse? Is it about? You start doing a circular thing and the enemy goes, you know, you were destined to be a lion, but you got a whole lot of flies. Because there's a distraction going on and you're not seeing it. But I'm in process. Okay. But we can have as much freedom as we really want and as quickly as we want. What? You're saying you're not in a process? Of course we are. The Lord says, how fast do you want the process to go? How much of me do you want? Remember a couple weeks ago when I was preaching and I was talking about, hey, the kingdom of God is at hand. Change the way you think. I just love that. But the Lord says, if you want to change the way you think, you've got to recognize that the kingdom of God is at hand. If you don't know what the kingdom of God really looks like, it's joy, it's peace, it's righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And if that's not really going on in the full measure of what God's saying, and you are choosing or maybe ignoring what you are called by God to do, to steward what you have seen, what has been released, what you have walked in, then there's probably a whole not a whole lot of recognition of what the kingdom of God is really doing at that moment or what God is saying. In other words, if we want to be presence-driven, we want to be presence-oriented, the Lord is saying, step in and say, I want to recognize the kingdom of God because you are the king and I am part of this kingdom because your kingdom comes from heaven to earth. Let me tell you the quickest way to stop something God wants to do in a place like this, that we get very religious. Not me. We look around going, now where could that be? We can become religious even with our Christian ease, even with what we say. You know, I'm feeling and I'm sensing and, you know, this is what you need. This is what's good for you. This is what will help. And there's no God in it. How do you know the difference? Go to 2 Corinthians 7:1. The Lord gave this scripture a few weeks ago, but I want to drive it home again because I think it's going to help all of us walk in a level of freedom that he's got even beyond where we are, and I think much more quickly. I just really believe that. So it's 2 Corinthians 7:1, and just to target that for yourself because it's so easy to get wrapped up in things that we call ministry. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved. In other words, the promises of God that I preached on chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, and you can get the tape or listen to it online this a couple weeks ago. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom, is what the Lord wants to release over us. And he says, you want to mature or perfect in holiness, right? Every person does. We want to walk, you know, for Jesus, onward Christian soldier. Let's walk that out. The Lord says, okay, I want you to really carry even more, a greater mantle than what you already have, greater weight. So let's test your desire when you were agreeing with PMP going, yeah, 2 Corinthians 7:1. All right, we'll step into this. How's that working for you? It's not. I'm just mad. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I'm this. I'm that. Blah, 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 blah. Here's my circle again. Da, 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 da. It's all about me and my pain. And so if you look at this, it says from all defilement of flesh and spirit. And flesh and spirit is talking about fleshly things that are coming, a.k.a. religious words, religious actions, religious opinions. Telling you. And spirit is representing our conscience, our inner man inside. It's like somehow there might be this root inside. And I believe the Lord did a supernatural thing today, whether you fell down or not. Some of us are falling down a whole lot, shaking a whole lot, and walking in the same stuff. You know? Okay. If you're carrying something that's defiling and the presence of God comes near you, be it through a person or not, you might shake, rattle, roll, down on the ground you go. Okay, that's great. But if you step back up and step into the same stuff, we get to go through that again. So there has to be a recognition of what the Lord was doing. Does that make sense? And don't let that bring fear, like, I better not go up in the front anymore. I got my school down. Yeah, don't do that. You can go down and every single time. I love it. You know, it's like come up and, whoo, power of God hits you. It could be a dose of Holy Ghost. You don't know. Or it might be a little critter saying, don't like this place here. Who knows? I'm not God. But, you know, come up, come up, come up. But come up, and then do something with what you come up and receive. Whatever it is, step in and do something. And the scariest place to be is when something, God is releasing something and we don't get it and we don't see it and our hearts aren't even tugged. It could mean that we've got something going on even in our conscience that's kind of seared. It's like we're not sensitive to what he's saying and doing right now. He's not happy about that. Does that mean that every person needed to come up and if not, they had a problem with their conscience? Is that what I said? No. But the Lord is saying, I am speaking right now. I'm speaking in this season in a way to just catapult all of us to a place that he's wanting to take us. I think Peter and Silas figured that out. And I'm sure they made lots of mistakes too, but we've got to really dig into these scriptures and see what was the character of these guys. They're loaded with compassion. You know, it's like, Jesus, this is what you're doing right now. Oh my gosh. I want you to highlight for me what's happening right now. I really want to position myself. And that's going to come from walking more and more and more on the highway to holiness. You know? Isn't that a good word? I just love that. Don't you think about more? There's probably much more in there. You know, I'm sure there is. But just for today, that's probably all from Acts chapter 16. It's kind of funny. I got this text from Dylan this morning. He doesn't know I'm going to say this. I better not text her in Sunday morning. I might come out. It might. But it's really good. He says, I don't know if you're aware, I'm paraphrasing, but there's this psychic fair going on at Lake Cable Clubhouse. Yeah, you're right. It's there. And I forget what I said back to you, like, yeah, I know, or something. I don't know what I said. I saw it, okay. And so, you know, he texts back something about, oh, basically, in so many words, we should do something about it. You know, I'm smiling, I'm laughing at my kitchen table going, you're so funny, that's so good. Back in the day, when my kids were smaller, I used to go to psychic fairs as a strong Christian with another person. And I'd walk in and just interrupt what they were doing. Interrupt the levitation very nicely. It was like my undercover Holy Spirit. Here I am. Hi. Because I'm a reader and an advisor. I used to do that. And it was so funny because when I was out in the parking lot and we also put things on people's windshields and, you know, this is the crazy person I am on the inside. And anyway, when these people would walk out of the building, I'm telling you, I'm rows away. This is after I was inside for a while and things aren't working. It's like, what's this? It's not happening. These are people, I'm looking at these people crying inside and trying to be kind on the outside. And crying because I'm watching, you know, it's like this pregnant woman go up and just so want a word. I was like, oh my gosh, no, Lord, in Jesus' name, cover her right now. So I was part of a body back then who really didn't see how important that was. No criticism, just the truth. So God said go, so I did. It was me. So I'm out in the parking lot, and this person walks out, and this is like the head dude, you know, and he walks out, and he's looking around the parking lot like this. And I'm standing there with my papers behind my back, like this. But he looks at me, and he glares at me, and I knew what he was doing. He saw in the spirit, in the negative spirit, there are negative portals, and he was one who had an understanding of how that worked. He'd make a great Christian someday. And so, you know, I just smiled at him and ended it for him in Jesus' name and told him what he needed to do. And he did. In the spirit. That's not witchcraft. Okay, it's witchcraft when they do it. Okay, well, when we do that, it's called using the power of God to say, I'm sorry, not on my watch. And so, he got shaken, and he turned, and he walked back inside. It's all he needed to do. It's like, Lord, do something here, and he needs to go because he's carrying something that doesn't want this to happen. So, we'll let you take care of that, thank you. And he says, no, you take care of it. Oh. In other words, you, MP, step into your authority. You do it. I've trained you to do this. So, what are you going to do about it? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. So I did that. Boom. And it worked. And it has since. That's before we went overseas. But the Lord is saying the authority that we really have, if we don't step into that and recognize that defilement in the spirit, by the flesh or spirit, any defilement from 2 Corinthians 7:1 that we hold or is on the inside, if we don't recognize that, we're going to get a word from God, maybe an impression, maybe a feeling, and it's going to filter right through that stuff. And then we're going to come to somebody and say, boom, bam, boo. And they're going to go, ew, there's no kingdom in it. So the very prophetic word or the very prophetic act that God might use you in is tainted, which is what the scripture says. So what is our papa always doing? He's saying, I want you to recognize what I'm doing because I'm all about freedom all the time. I want to free you all the time, more and more and more and more. Because the Bible says that Jesus grew. How did he grow? I'll never figure this one out yet. I haven't yet, I should say. It's like, Lord, if you want to tell me. But it says Jesus grew in wisdom. Chew on that all week. He grew in wisdom, and he grew in stature, and he grew in favor with his Father and man. Oh, yeah, that's because he came in as a human. But didn't he have everything? He still grew. He grew. He had to be baptized. He went into the desert. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was tried and tempted by probably some pretty hefty dudes. Probably not your typical low-range demon. You mean there's different levels? Yes. He had an awareness, so he really got nailed, or an attempt at nailing him. Whoa! So, when he came out, he was full of power. Well, I go to Frontline, and they're going to have 24/7 prayer. I'm just so part of a cool place. It's just so fun. And the Lord is saying, what do you recognize about what I'm doing? And what are you doing to increase and be part of the increase? Position yourself for the increase. Because the increase always receives and always gives. It's the message from Peter and Silas in the jail. Freely you've received, now freely give. And you will recognize what I'm doing and what you're supposed to do about it. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And if we have our plan in place, and it's not the best, it's not the kingdom way, we might just have a whole lot of trouble going on. And we might be in our dilemma, our trial, with our family, with our friends, with our finances, with our circumstances, a whole lot longer. And Papa's saying, why? Don't make it so hard. You're making it hard. You're making it hard. It's like, what? Me? No. I better check with him and see what he says I need to do. And he says, well, what do you want? Oh, gee, tell me exactly what to do. You're the command. And I'm just a little clay here. Tell me. He says, well, we're co-laboring together. What do you want to see? Oh, I want to see revival in the land. I want to see revival in my heart. I want to hear of increased visions and dreams and da-da-da-da-da. And the list goes on. And he says, well, then step into that, darling. Be free. It's not that simple. Yes, it is. Whoa. It comes from a recognition of his presence. And Peter's giving us a picture here. And some of the very people that God would say, you can be a champion for the things of the kingdom, the very people that he has already released, a level of that understanding, spiritual, emotional, physical, because it all works together. It's your head and your heart working together. It's not just your head. It's your heart working together. God didn't create dummies. There's no dummies in the kingdom. Don't think of yourself that way. Gave you a brain. Gave you a heart. But they have to be in sync. Oh, powerful word. I'm looking at myself. But the very ones that the Lord is called to be a champion for Jesus. A champion. I'm going to champion the things of the kingdom. I'm going to champion the voice of the Lord. I'm going to champion. I'm going out. I'm going to do it on the mission field. But the mission field is not just in Africa 3 weeks out of the year. The Lord says, if you're my champion, you will take the call and say, I'm going to be a champion for the kingdom. And I'm going to take everything that I'm hearing and say, woohoo! Wow! I'm going to allow you to shake me, baby. Whatever it is. How can we move forward if God gives us, let's say, a company of champions, and the champions, he's here, and the champions are over here, and they're tending their garden, and they're painting their walls, and they're, you know, going to the market, and they're da-da-da-da-da, you know. Are you saying those are wrong? You know, if God's over here, yes. If he's telling you to do something, yes. How do I know if he's telling me? Because I'm so close to him that I'm walking in that kind of release of love. I know. I just know. I can feel. I can sense. I can hear. And then my words and my actions, bam won't cause someone to cower. That's religious. Or silence. That's religious. Or I'm going this way. That's religious. It's the surefire way. You know, for any of our miracles, healings, and things that we want to see in the tangible manifestation of God showing up. Who doesn't want to see a healing? Don't raise your hand. We all want to see healings and deliverance and salvation. And we all want to see that. That's, you know, it's the manifestation of the glory. We want to see it and walk in it. But God says, what will you do to champion that? Are you my champion? You recognize who I am, what I've done at the cross, how I'm off the cross, and I've got resurrection power living on the inside of you. Are you a lion for me? Or are you shaking your mane because you have so many flies and you can't even get your prey? How? Are you willing to roar, but you don't even see that you have a roar? Something's wrong. And the Lord's saying, I don't want you to live in a something's wrong. I want you to live in everything that's right. Everything that's right, because it's the goodness of God that leads to the change of thinking. But if we don't see the goodness of God and say, wow, give me vision to see. Do you know that God will give visions for things that make no sense to shake up the religion in us? Especially in leaders. Oh my goodness. Especially in leaders. That won't work. We can't do that. Need to be responsible. Responsible. You know what responsible means? Response, able. I am able to respond to what God is saying and what God is doing. And I'm not going to call it, this doesn't make sense. We're not going there. That's very religious. And that can stop something. Seriously. Whoever thought of gold dust? How responsible was that? What? Just weird. How? Tell the children in India that when we show up. And they're on the floor and they've been rescued out of the brothels from the sex trade. And they've been hurt and beaten and abused and they've been thrown out and they have no worth, no value before they come to know Jesus. And Jesus shows up and angels come and revelation comes. First in our children's home. How much do you know about our frontline children's home? How much have you cared? How much do you, are you waiting for someone to speak up from front, from the front? Can you read it at the website? Is God stirring you? You know, just these are just challenges. Because what does a champion do? A champion for Jesus challenges. What? Challenges what Jesus has already done and released and who he is. We are challengers. The Lord says, let's challenge. But let's challenge through love. And let's challenge by the kingdom. Peter and Silas understood that. And that's still the New Testament. That's Acts. The Lord said, we're 2,000 years ahead. Oh my gosh, are you guys ready to do crazy things? Way beyond. Is it all about your dreams, your vision, your destiny? Oh Lord, it's about me. It's not going to happen. We got to do an about face. It's about you, your dreams, your destiny for me. It's tailor-made for me because you love me so much. Oh man, I am so in love with you. That's all that matters. And then if my wife, my husband, my friend, my coworker, my is not walking in that kind of stirring, oh well, you're going to be so lit on fire that nothing can stop. Nothing can stop. Nothing can stop. So if someone's leading worship, it's like, Lord, I feel numb. It's probably on my end. Nope, it is on my end. Help. Help. I don't know what to do. Help. Okay, I'll worship. Oh, come, I'll worship. I'll worship because you are God. You are God. You are God. You are God. And I feel like I'm in a prison. You are. I feel like I'm in a prison. You are. Worship me. Worship me. Connect in with what I'm doing and you'll be okay. You'll be okay. I don't feel like it. That's your problem. It's not about that. It's not about that because I'm God. You're not and I love you. And you want to feel that freedom so that you're nice to your roommate the next day? You see, it's all connected. When we talk about negative or positive portals, there are portals in the spirit. And that means that things can float, if you will, or move that we don't see. And we can let them in or we can push them away. In a negative portal, there can be things that are floating around, even in the atmosphere, if you will, that are negative words that are spoken, negative things that are released. And if you don't know how to guard, and if you don't know that it's there, and if you can't recognize that because you're so overwhelmed with the goodness of God, which enables you to recognize that, that's a... But I'm so recognizing the goodness of God and stepping into the fullness of the blessings that come from the positive portal, if you want to call it that, or the spiritual heavenly kingdom portal. Wow, I'm so embraced in that. I know, Lord, as a champion for you, that I have a duty to help others encounter the very thing that I have established inside from your hand. That's my joy. That's my desire. I'm not going to wait for PMP or Pastor Bill to stir me up again because I fell off the boat for the 27th time. Do you understand? Just catch my heart in that of love, of course. Say yes. Okay. What I'm saying is recognize that you're falling off the boat. It's like, whoa! Let's do something so we're on that boat and we're moving because we're champions for Jesus. We're champions, and whatever's getting in the way of that champion mentality and heartfelt desire to move forward. Man, I'm done with it. I'm going to do something about this, whatever it is I need to do. I'm not sure what I need to do. What am I willing to do? Maybe that's a better question. It's always going to involve humility, always. It's like, oh. But God's, you know, he's all about that because he's just so good. You read these things and go, bam, you are so awesome. So awesome. That's the season that we're in. I want to have you read a couple of verses that I think you can meditate on about the goodness of God that will help you out. Because we want to receive the blessings and walk in the blessings and extend them to others financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically, in any way possible that God has given us eyes and ears to see and do. Yesterday I was walking through Rose Lane. Thank you for those who were able to make it yesterday morning. God bless you. Rose Lane Nursing Home. And we're talking and praying over different people, different residents who are in the wheelchairs, things like that, you know. So I bless you, what's your name? Oh, nice to meet you, you know. How are you? Well, I've got this. Oh, be blessed, be healed in Jesus' name. It's like, all right, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you saying? What are you doing? Check on the people with the trees. They're really good people. They're doing wonderful things for me. Oh, yeah. Love you guys. That's great. But he didn't have to tell me that. I want to because I love you. But I'm in agreement with the kingdom. See, he's not going, okay, yeah, I know you don't get this, but you know, Chris showed up and, you know, she's really, really wonderful. So why don't you go tell her she's doing a good job? Okay. No, it's in your heart. It's like, oh man, she's wonderful. It's just awesome. Thank you so much. That's so cool. It just came out. Like Paul was saying, hey, come here, jailer. It's really okay. Oh my gosh, explosion of power. What must I do to be saved? So as I was walking in through the big Christmas tree in the big room, you know, it's like, oh, it's just go to this one lady. I'll leave her name out just in case she ends up coming here. I know her name. And the Lord said, this one. Wow. I was like, ooh. Hey, how are you? What's going on? Tell me about your world, your life. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? Parkinson's, 15 years. Unforgiveness in the heart. Divorce, 15 years ago. Parkinson's showed up shortly after that. Interesting. No family around. In a wheelchair for the rest of her life, she was told, in this nursing home. And she's really very young. And she didn't know Jesus. So God reversed all of it. All of it. Everything I just mentioned to you was turned. Bam, 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 bam. Healing, deliverance, anointing, inner healing. Boom, hope, glowing face. Nice. Jesus showed up. That's what he wanted to do at that point, at that time, for that person.
Well, that's because your pastor married Pat.
No. No. It's being at the right place at the right time and hearing the voice of God and submitting my schedule to him. Hardest thing to do, probably for anybody in the West. So I'm still working on that one because I try. Okay, here's a couple of... scriptures that are just fun. Turn to Hosea 3:5. You can write these down. And Jeremiah 33:9. And focus group leaders and all other leaders, you know, if you're a leader of any kind over or with any other people, can you drive some of these things home as you capture it? And if you, you know, if you want to step into some place where you're actually going to connect with humans, that would be a really good thing. That's the point from Paul and Silas here. God sent them to human beings, not just whatever. Humans. That's right. That's his heart. Help the humans. All right, Hosea 3:5. Help me, Jesus. All right, here we go. Hosea 3:5. When you find it, raise your hand. Oh, dear. Okay, we're going to have a new class on Bible. How to find the scriptures. All right. Whoa. Go to the front of the Bible and see where it is. I'll let you figure this out. With Hosea 3:5 and Jeremiah 33:9, write that down. You know, some of us got a little encouraging email from Dylan this week, and I'm not finished with that story. You know, Jesus was reminding me how important it is to read the scriptures. And you know what kind of grieved me from that? That he felt a need to actually have to send that out. It's like, Lord, oh, do we have to read in an email that we need to read the Word of God? That's sad. But we need to encourage one another because we can forget sometimes and have those flies bothering us. But at the same time, wouldn't it be great if we were on the other side and all of us were, you know, were just not bothered by those flies? Our roar is so loud, okay, that we're really cooking here and we're able to rise up and we're encouraging others beyond what we see right here. So if we want to get to that place, probably need to read the Word. No, probably. But I thank you for doing it, Dylan. It doesn't mean Dylan's the only person reading the Word of God, so don't think that for just a moment, please. But it was a good word. Hosea 3:5. Afterward, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. And they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. I just kind of think the jailer caught a glimpse of that. What do you think? And I don't think the goodness that he felt was all those dudes are free now. That sent earthly fear into him. I'm going to lose my life because I didn't do my job. I fell asleep. But the fear of God, the trembling fear of God that overcame him to a place eventually of realizing that he was in the presence of the king, as evidenced through Paul and Silas's life, that he said, what must I do to be saved? So brought into a place of wanting and knowing the goodness of God was already there, he wanted to be cleansed. It wasn't just a recognition of all the evil things I've done because I'm a snake and I'm a worm and I'm a toad. It's recognizing that God is so good and I can't have any of that living in the inside of me and growing up. I kind of think he got a real dose quickly. Another one, Jeremiah 33:9. It will be to me a name of joy, praise, and glory before all the nations of the earth, which will hear of all the good that I do for them, and they will fear and tremble because of all the good and all the peace that I make for it. They will fear and they will tremble because of all the good and all the peace. But it will be to me a name of joy, peace, and glory. Is that amazing? I love that. Another verse to write down I think will help you is Psalm 115:16. So flip over there, please. Yeah, goodness of God. And if we're carrying religious stuff, we're not going to be able to, and we don't see it, we're not going to be able to release the goodness of God to a place where people will come and say, what must I do to be saved? In the fear and trembling? Yeah. I want to be response-able to you, Lord. I want to respond to your voice. When you say, son, daughter, what do you want? I want everything in the kingdom. Okay, hold on, here we go. Don't say no, say yes. Psalm 115:16. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of man. Well, let me say it again. It's a good verse. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have more verses, but I think that's good for now, good for today. And what I want to tell you before we end is that last week we went to a meeting for area pastors and leaders, and prophet and prophetess Bob and Bonnie Jones were there. And it wasn't really a very widely attended meeting. I was a bit surprised, actually. When I first read about it, it was like, yay, I want to go. I want to hear, you know, something about the region. I want to hear what you're saying, Lord. I want to check myself. I want to see if there's anything you want to check me in. And you just, yay, God, more heaven. This is good. And one thing that they shared, a vision, and I want to share it with you, because if we don't see the goodness of God, not only through the scriptures, but also with what he's doing, then we have a hard time applying this to our own world, to our own life, don't you think? Let me find it. Where are you? Ah, there it is. I did write it down. Okay. Bonnie Jones said that she was seeing these big circles, and the distance of these circles in the spirit were 500 miles in diameter. And she saw a great big circle over Ohio. It was 500 miles. So think of the state of Ohio and think of the size. And we're right in the center of this, this circle, which is very fun. And she said that an angel had appeared to her and shown her this and given her this vision. Or in a vision, this angel appeared to her and then showed her this. And so she was telling her husband, and Bob Jones said, oh yeah, that goes along with the vision that the Lord has given me with this wide range of my power, release of power that he wants to bring. But if we don't recognize what in this area, in Ohio, and then it's filtering out into other regions as well beyond Ohio, but the Lord's doing something mighty in this area, in this season. And so he was bringing Bonnie into a place of releasing what God's wanting to do right now. And he's very, very specific, and he's very intentional, the word of the year here. Intentional. He's saying, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. Do you want to be part of it? Or will you not see it? Will you not recognize it? Will you not steward? Will you not usher this in? How God's going to do that, I don't know. When I heard Pastor Bill and I at VOTA, Voice of the Apostles, a couple weeks ago, he was saying that he thought he might even be dying because the Lord told him that in March something big was going to happen. Well, what does that mean? He thought, well, maybe I'm getting my ship in order. I need to go. See you guys. Have fun. But he basically was saying that the Lord was telling him, who he had an appearance, heavenly appearance, and he was saying that there's a whole lot of glory going to be released, but we don't know how. Why? Although he did say, get your house in order. Now, if it's all about me and my house, oh my gosh, I've got a leaky basement. I've got a roof that needs to be fixed. You know, if it's all about you, you kind of missed the idea of house. Not that you can't fix your leaky basement or your roof. But if you don't have an idea of, it's not about me, I'm more concerned about everybody else that is around me than me, then you probably have missed some things, and we need to backtrack and need to listen to the message again. Which I'll probably do for myself, going, what did I say? And take me, Lord, and show me what you want. You want to release your goodness in me. Okay? But the Lord is saying, get yourself in order. Get your finances, get your house, get your infrastructure, get your ministries, get everything in order, because you're just not going to have time. It's like, whoa. He goes, I'm not telling you, so many words, what that means. It's like, well, Lord, we're doing things overseas. We're going to India, we're going to Africa, and da-da-da-da-da. He says, yeah. I'm big. That's all we know. It's like, okay. Do you think God's going to give you everything? No. He's going to say, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So therefore, if you want to think and have the mind of Christ like me that I've given you and you want to walk in it, take these steps in your own personal life as you engage my presence and you determine that you're going to be presence-oriented, presence-driven at your house, after work, in your car, in your church, in your family. You're going to be presence-oriented, presence-driven for everything that's happening, for the birth of babies, for weddings, for funerals. We don't have any here. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that great? We haven't even had a funeral. And not on, and at this time. It's a homegoing, but it's not God's time because we're all generals here saying, let's go for it. Isn't that great? And God is saying, that's what I've got here. Okay, we embrace that. Wow, that was a good word. And here's something else that was released, and then we'll close here. But I want to give it to you. I was going to wait till Tuesday, but I think I'll give it to you today. I'm just going to really encourage you, if you would, and you can take the encouragement and run with it, and I think you'd be wise to do that. I would read in the scriptures Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 55. I'd read them. I'd read them very, very clearly. The entire chapter of Isaiah 35, read it over, and especially dealing with the highway of holiness. You know, if you want to walk in this highway of holiness, it must be there must be a commitment to Isaiah 55. So if you just say, walking in that highway of holiness, God, he says, great. Have you read Isaiah 55? So read Isaiah 55. Let me give you some of the verses so you can understand that. I'll give you the final word that we heard about the release of a spirit of counsel in this region or in the world, what God wants to do here. But in Isaiah 55, yeah, it's basically the whole chapter. But particularly 1 through 3, which talks about being presence-oriented, and then verse 6 through 13, which talks about change the way you think. Both go hand in hand. And I hadn't thought about that in a while, you know, until recently. It's like, oh my gosh, that's what you're saying. Change the way you think, but understand what I'm doing. And then very finally, so you can on this, just want to give you something that Bob and Bonnie Jones did say, so you can hang on to this as well. These two things basically said, I know what they said, but I want to tell you what I wrote, so let me get it for you. Okay, here's what they said. They said that a spirit of counsel from the heart of the Lord is coming in a greater capacity and measure. And the spirit of counsel is being released to the body of Christ right now, and it's restoring judges to the body of Christ, raising up righteous judges with the wisdom of Solomon. And this is in a governmental place. This is in our own heart. This is in our own body. And I believe that that's a major call on frontline. Major call, and that there's so much righteousness that the Lord's wanting to release, the spirit of righteousness here, that it can affect this entire region, which ties in with what Dylan said. Hey, can we pray or can we do however you said it? Something about this thing, you know, at the cable clubhouse. And I was smiling going, yes. And encouraging you to come also to 24/7 prayer this week. But it's very important, the spirit of counsel being released to the body of Christ at large. And those who will walk in with eyes to see and ears to hear will walk in it. This is what I'm saying. When I release this by the spirit, there's power through my words to release it to you. And if you say, that's for me, I take it. That's what God will start churning on the inside of you, and it will resonate in power and authority being released right where you are, in your family, in your home, in your church, in your finances, in your region. Wow, that's a good word. And then this morning I was sitting at the table, the Lord reminded me of Isaiah 11. Turn there for a minute, 1 through 3, because I want you to think about these things as you're coming to 24/7 prayer this week. Isaiah 11, 1 through 3 is a picture of the righteous branch, which is Jesus. And when you put these things together, you're got to tell somebody about it. Maybe it's your spouse who's not here. Maybe it's your neighbor. I don't know. Use God's wisdom. But you're going to have to, it can't stay in. If it goes in and generates, it'll come out. It has to. And then finally he says, in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see or make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness, he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be the belt around his loins, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. And that's a picture of Jesus. It's a fuller picture of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, take it for now, meditate on it, and watch what I'm going to release to you through this word. Hey, they didn't develop this, really. When Bob and Bonnie were releasing, they just basically told you what I said. Oh, but this is what the Lord is saying, and I believe, you know, for whatever reason, time probably, but God is saying, I'm trying to get your attention, I'm trying to show you that the righteousness that's released on the inside of you, if you declare war on anything that is anti-righteousness, it will be from the power of love that's going to be released through you. And it's coming in a mighty wave in 500 mile diameter somehow. It's coming. We're right there. We're right there. We're right there. So there's no more time to say, I just can't, I just can't, I just can't. It's, I will, I will, I will, and God will do it. He will do it. He's faithful. He's faithful to do these things. Isn't this fun? It's all about his goodness. It's all about his mercy. It's all about his freedom. It's all about his righteousness. And he says, I'm going to so fill you with mercy and grace that people will just say, what happened to her? What happened to him? Oh my gosh. But it's going to be from a kingdom perspective that he's going to release his mercy, his grace, his righteousness through us so that others will recognize the power. There will be so much power around you. People will get healed when you come close. They will get delivered when you come close. They will be filled up with the Father's heart when you came close. You come close. Thank you, Lord. This is good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, spirit of counsel from the heart of the Lord is providing a message of preparation for a great release of his power. I've had that written in my Bible for years, and the Lord just reminded me of it. Let me read it to you again. The spirit of counsel. It's like, I saw that and went, wow, hey, spirit of counsel from the heart of the Lord is providing a message of preparation for the great release of his power. We had a great release of power coming from love that's being released on Tuesday night. Physical healings, emotional healings, deliverances, someone getting healed by a text. Why? Spirit of God said, speak it out. Tom Carr getting healed the next morning from this release of power. Or getting healed at that time, waking up in the morning healed, I should say, who wasn't here on Tuesday. You know, Ina's mom, as she talks to her in Indonesia, she gets out of a wheelchair she's been in. She had a walking stick. She gets out, because we're praying here. I'm telling you, this release of power is here. Don't miss it, because God wants to increase. I want to be presence-driven. It's time to put our watches somewhere else. And say, what are you doing? What are you saying? So, Father, as we close right now, I just thank you. I thank you for a reminder, Papa, that it's all about you and your presence, and you're helping us discover what presence really looks like, what your manifest presence is. I thank you, Papa, that this day is a day of new beginnings, taking us to a place in your heart that's so amazing. Last week, Lord, you gave us all personal words straight from your heart. All afternoon, I thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us how to steward what you've released and how to take a step for further increase, because that's the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the boldness that's come on this body to the degree that it has up to this point, and how, Father, there's going to be a change even in greater increase for courage and boldness and focus and attention on you, especially in the area of our time and our opinions. Thank you, Papa. You're so good. I thank you, Lord, that we do have the authority And you're just asking for those who will recognize that you're calling out your champions right now to champion your cause for the kingdom, to champion what you're doing, to champion who you are. And I thank you, Lord, that even as we step in and recognize that there is a counterfeit rising up in this community that's been, it's not just rising now, it's been there, but now it's right on Fulton Road for all to see. It's not new. There's nothing new under the sun. But that, Father, you're saying, what are you going to do about it, kids? Are you going to let that stay? Are you going to allow that release from negative portals to come and spew a haze over your own community? And we say, no, Daddy, we're not. And Lord, we're saying to you that in this season, as you're releasing this lion anointing, and you're getting us to be prepared, you're moving and preparing us for the great release of counsel and the great release of wisdom and understanding, that you are not looking for people who are prosecuting others, Lord. You're looking for those who are defending the gospel of the kingdom and saying, no, I'm standing for you, Jesus. I'm standing for you. No matter what it looks like, I'm going to stand in the face of adversity and the face of what appears to be bigger than me and say, I carry the bigger one on the inside and I'm going to do something about it. And I thank you, Lord, that I do that from a position of power and strength and authority that you've already given me. And I'm recognizing that as I rest in your presence and I live from victory and not from defeat, and I release the victory from heaven right now into my circumstances, Lord, that there will be a continued shift, not just one time on a Tuesday for elections. But Lord, we thank you for what you have done, and we're going to recognize your hand. Recognize when you've shown up and what you're doing when you show up. Thank you, Father, for the healings and the deliverances and the testimonies. And we'll be moved to even go home and write them and put them on the website because it honors you. Things like that, Papa, we're waiting and recognizing and wanting to take those steps further. Lord, I thank you for the freedom that you brought through this message. And I'm believing right now, Lord, as we close, as we go into a week of 24/7 prayer and also worship, Lord, as we worship you in your temple, in your tabernacle, in our house and in this house, Lord, that there's going to be such a tremendous outpouring of favor, wisdom and stature with you and man and with us and man, that we're going to believe that there's going to be a mighty shift that's going to happen as a result. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for that. We decree and we declare, Lord God, that even as we have this torch over here on the side, that's not lit yet, we'll turn it on. It just is a physical symbol of what really you're saying. Are you my torch? Am I an inferno in you? So as we plug that in, one of you can just plug it on the side and light it and we don't have another church here, Lord, that someone even came and we had a great transfer. That never happened. Nobody in this area came with this torch. But Lord, we're stepping out in faith. We're stepping out in desire. We're thanking you, God, right now. Thanking you for the privilege of doing this, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the release. Thank you for the divine release of destiny in this house. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Wow. Thank you, Papa. You're so good. You're so good. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Father, I just thank you for your release of healing power in this house. Physical healing right now to manifest through this place. Lord, sometimes you may not bring healing until we recognize that you're here. So, Lord, I thank you for your wave of healing right now. I just sense the healing power and presence is here. The healing angels are here. I really believe that. So just step in and say, that belongs to me. And if you look at the last verse in Isaiah 33, it talks about those even refusing sickness. There will be no more sickness. Read it and find it. Grab onto it. That's where God's taking us. It's a promise of the kingdom. Because Jesus wasn't sick. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Recognize, Lord. Let it be today. If you've agreed and stepped into the things that the Lord has revealed and released today, Papa is here. He's touching. He's releasing. Just say yes. It's just a Daniel 1:8. It's a change of thinking. Daniel purposed in his heart, and the Lord did the rest. And you step in and walk it out. Watch what God will do. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Dylan, I'm going to ask you to come up and just pray over this situation here at Lake Cable. It's not new, but I thank you that you had the recognition that it's here, and we're just going to exercise our authority for the great release in this region.
Well, Father, we just thank you that we have your Spirit on the inside of us, Lord, and that you see the good, the bad, the present, the past, and the future. And Lord, you see it through eyes of holiness and perfection. And Father, that anything that's not from your Spirit is a counterfeit. Sometimes it's the enemy's perspective. Oftentimes it's the enemy's perspective directly. And Father, we know that his perspective is limited. We know that he has nothing good and constructive to offer. That everything he touches, his hands touch, are destroyed. That, Lord, he can see what is and what's past in a limited sense, but he has no clue as to what the future holds. And so, Father, we know that as people are running there and flocking there to get a word, that, Lord, it comes out of a hunger for something more than they have. It comes out of a hunger for the supernatural. And so, Father, we recognize that at its basic level is a good thing. People are hungry. They realize that what they have isn't enough, but they're being misled, Lord, down a path that's dark. And so, Father, we just don't even need to pray confusion into that camp because it's already there. We just pray, Father, that you'd open the people's eyes to see. Lord, that the words would fall even before they get from the lips to the ears, that they would fall to the ground. That every word would be broken in Jesus' name. That, Father, you would expose this for what it is, a sham, a counterfeit of the real thing. Holy Spirit, we just call down heaven right now and every ministering angel to just invade that place. Lord, as you close the mouths of the lions when Daniel was thrown, that you would close the mouths of these men and women who presume to be speaking words of wisdom but are speaking words of death. That you would bring confusion to their lips, Father. That nothing they say would make sense. God, that you would reveal into their own hearts, Lord, that in some cases, giftings that you've called them to have been corrupted and defiled, and that you're calling them to a place of sanctification, Lord, and holiness. So, Father, we just release heaven right now into this community and over this community. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us a strategy, give us strategies as a church, as a body, as individuals. And the boldness, Lord, to step out and to meet the need that these people are crying out from. The need to hear. The need to know. The desire to see something beyond what their life offers them, Father. Something beyond the disappointments even that Pastor Bill shared about last week. Father, we just bless each one, Lord, that you would encounter them. Oh God, that you would step into their houses, that you would step into their bedrooms, that you would step into their workplaces. Father, and that you would meet them where they are. That Father, this business, which is growing in this Jackson Township area and these psychic houses that are just raising up all over the place, Father, that the people would stop running to them because they get their answers from you and that this business would shut down. Father, we pray that you would bankrupt this business. Oh God, that the money would not be there. Lord, that the resources and the finances would dry up and that you would draw each of these ones to you. The ones who are presuming to hear words and are being led astray and deceived, God, we pray that you would draw them to your heart. Father, we just bless you. We just thank you that you give us the boldness and the gifting and the ability to hear your voice. Lord, to go out this week, Father, I just pray for this body right now in Jesus' name, and I just release a fresh impartation, Father, of your heart and your words of knowledge, Father. And Father, we just bind fear over this body in Jesus' name of, oh no, what if I don't? What if, what if, what if? And Father, we just release boldness to every member of this body in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm just hearing the Lord saying, as your heart is willing to say yes, he will bring the opportunities. As your heart is willing and you say, yes, Lord, use me, Lord, God will bring the opportunities. The Lord is looking for willing hearts this morning. Hearts that are just saying, yes, God, use me. Use me. Use me, Lord. Father, we just offer ourselves this morning. We just thank you, Lord. We just praise you because we're tapped in. There's nothing to fear for us because we're tapped into the real source. We're tapped into revelation from heaven. We just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.
And Father, just to add my voice, Father, we are gatekeepers over this region. We are gatekeepers over this city. And we thank you, Lord God, that as your love is released, we know that the enemy knows that his days are numbered. So, Father, we rebuke and we come against every principality and power and wickedness in high places that thinks it would have an opportunity to come into this region or stay in this region. We say no, and we declare and we decree an end to this supernatural manifestation, this divination, Lord God, this Jezebel divination in the name of Jesus. We say no to it. We say no, and we drive it out with a roar from heaven, and we say you leave in the name of Jesus, and we will not tolerate you in our region. And I thank you, Lord God, that with that authority, Father, there comes a release from heaven, as Dylan said. And we step in, Lord God, and we recognize that the very Lion of Judah on the inside says, no, lives are being destroyed. Lives, people are being killed. They're being destroyed. And we rise up with a holy roar and say no. So, Lord, we ask that this is shut down. We command it to be shut down. We command all these places, all these portals to be closed and shut down in the name of Jesus Christ right now. So we're going to rise up. Can you be on your feet? And we're going to yell out. We're going to give a roar. We're going to see that this land is going to vibrate and it's going to send a holy fear to the demonic realm that thinks it has lulled people to sleep in this region. And there's a prophetic symbolism there, but it's also a release in the heaven. So on the count of three, we are going to roar because of the Lion of Judah. Okay? These people are playing for keeps, and it's not the people, but it's the powers. And when we come and we say, no more, not on my watch, you watch what happens. Read the papers. We do this around our neighborhood. We've seen two bars shut down. They don't even exist any longer. Their buildings are even gone. God says it's time to raise up a holy standard of righteousness and say, no, not on my watch. It's coming against the people that I love, my neighbors, my family, my friends. How? So we rise up right now. On the count of three, if you believe that a holy roar on the inside of you can release something in the atmosphere, then join us. One, two, three. Ho! Hey! Go in the name of Jesus. You leave this place. Jesus' name. Shadabakarasada. Break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. Ho! Ho! Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes. So as we leave today, worship team, I'm going to ask you to follow that roar. So whatever you're singing, whatever the Lord's telling you, it's going to follow the holy roar, because the Lord is saying that we're going out We're going out as a triumphal, victorious bride. A victory of Jesus in our heart and our mind. Okay? This is, hold your heads up, and we're going out as the mighty warriors of Jesus Christ. We're going out as the army of God. This release into the heavenlies. Our feet, wherever we go, we will occupy the land in the name of Jesus Christ. Shut up, Asa. Hallelujah. This is a new day.